NFL QB tiers, Cam Newton is released by the Patriots, and my college football playoff predictions. The Valley Sports Talk begins right now. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the LaValle Sports Talk Podcast, brought to you by the Soundline Network. As always, I'm your host, Chris LaValle. Hope you all are doing well and staying safe. So this week's pod's going to be a little bit different. There's going to be no Everything is Stupid segment. We're going to kick off the pod in a moment, talk Cam Newton, and then the remainder of this podcast, for the majority of it anyway, is going to be NFL QB tiers list, and then I'll close out the pod this week and give you my four college football playoff predictions. So let's kick it off with Cam Newton. Cam Newton was released by New England. To say I'm shocked would be an understatement. I was under the impression that Cam Newton was going to be the starter heading into the season. I believed that from day one. And I really believe that Bill Belichick wanted him to be the starter. I think he was giving him every opportunity in the world to remain the starter, to maintain that starting position. And frankly, I figured he wanted Mac Jones to sit behind Newton for a little while, at least for half the season, before putting him in. Couldn't have been more wrong. Clearly, that wasn't the case. Jones, I guess, outplayed Cam Newton. I know there are some people out there who are speculating whether him not getting the COVID vaccine, if that had something to do with it. I don't think that had anything to do with it at all, to be quite honest with you. My assumption is just that Belichick just believes that Jones should be his starter. And look, Belichick went out and he took Jones in the first round. I completely disagreed with that decision. And I've said before, in Belichick, I trust. So I'm having a really hard time here with trying to figure out if I think Belichick is making the right decision or the wrong decision, because I was not a fan of Jones in college. I don't think he's a bad quarterback, but I didn't think he did anything special at Alabama. I understand he went undefeated. He won the national championship, and I get that. But there's a lot of Alabama quarterbacks who have done that over the years, and they have not been successful in the NFL. It's not that hard to be good on a Nick Saban roster as a quarterback. You just have to be a basic game manager, and you can go undefeated too. It really isn't. It's not like you need to have an elite level skill set in order to be successful at Alabama. So moving back to Cam Newton here, I think Belichick did Newton a favor by releasing him and not trading him, and I'll tell you why. Because this opens the door for Newton to be able to pick whatever team he wants to go to. And I really do think Belichick was doing him a favor here. I don't think he was disrespectful. I don't think anything like that. I think he sat back and he went, well, we could try and trade Cam Newton and get something for him, or I could just release him, and then he can go wherever the hell he wants. Now, there's four teams that I think are perfect spots for him, starting number one with the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans should have already picked up Cam Newton at this point in time. They don't have a quarterback. Deshaun Watson, I understand, made the 53-man roster, which is a joke. He shouldn't have. He should be on the commissioner's exempt list. He should not be playing this season. And this just shows you the mismanagement of the Houston Texans, the fact that they haven't suspended him or done anything to him to prevent him from being on the 53-man roster, given the scandal that's going on surrounding him. They do not have a quarterback. Tyrod Taylor is not a quarterback. The high school quarterback down the street is better than Tyrod Taylor. Cam Newton would be perfect for them as a placeholder this season without Deshaun Watson. The Houston Texans should go get Cam Newton right now. The second choice for him, in my opinion, is Dallas. Dallas needs a real backup quarterback. Right now, the backup quarterback in Dallas is Cooper Rush. Who the hell is Cooper Rush? I don't know who the hell Cooper Rush is. I don't think anybody knows who Cooper Rush is. Dallas should go grab Cam Newton if Texans aren't, because we don't know what we're going to get from Prescott. I know he's supposed to start week one. Jerry Jones has come out and he said, oh, Prescott's going to be ready to go. I'm telling y'all, that shoulder, there's something going on there with that shoulder. It does not make me feel comfortable. It really makes me question how successful Dallas is really going to be this season. Having Cam Newton as your backup would, and I'm not even a Cowboys fan, but that would give me a lot more security knowing that Cam Newton is the backup in case Prescott does end up going down. The third place for him would be Baltimore. Baltimore plays the style of offense that I think is most conducive to Cam Newton's skill set. He would be behind Lamar Jackson. Hell, they could even put in Cam Newton to do some trick packages with Lamar out there as well. I think that would be a great place for him. In the fourth spot is my Indianapolis Colts, and that's just because we can't seem to keep quarterbacks healthy right now. And I would have no issue with Cam Newton being on that roster. I think he would be very successful in Indy as well. If Phillip Rivers was successful last year in Indy, I think Cam Newton could be successful in Indy. So there you go. Those are my four spots for him. So I would go with Houston 1, Dallas 2, Baltimore 3, and my Colts 4. Now, where Cam Newton ends up, I don't know. But I do think there's going to be a team that will reach out and will nab him if not before week one, at least by like week two or three. You know a quarterback's going to go down. It happens every single year. There's going to be a team that's going to need him. I do think there's one team, though, that's kicking themselves, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. The fact that they went out and they grabbed Gardner Minshew. Now, don't get me wrong. I like Gardner Minshew. I think Gardner Minshew is going to be good in Philly. But given the style of play that Jalen Hurts plays, the way that I think they're trying to create that offense in Philly right now around Jalen Hurts, Cam Newton would be perfect in that offense. Because let's be real. The Eagles aren't going to go anywhere with Jalen Hurts. Okay, so at some point in time, Gardner Minshew is going to see playing time anyway. So I just think that the Eagles might be kicking themselves for grabbing Gardner Minshew now that they know that Cam Newton's available. But anyway, I do think Cam Newton's going to be okay. I think he's going to find another place to play. And at the end of the day, we'll see what happens with New England and Mac Jones. But this was definitely not a story that I was expecting to see. Certainly not this season anyway. This is my favorite podcast to record. I love doing NFL QB tiers. I look forward to this every year. I take a lot of time to look at the stats, to just sit down and figure out who I think are the best quarterbacks. And the other reason why I enjoy doing it is because I get a lot of pushback. I get a lot of people who give me credit for it, but I also get a lot of pushback. And that's the best part about talking sports and doing this podcast, is having people disagree with you. And quarterback, I don't think there's another topic that people get more fired up about than where you rank quarterbacks. And everyone's got their own opinions. And I'm sure I'm going to get pushback from this. I do from Rich every single year. Next Monday, you should listen to Rich on Lala. We're going to have Matt on. And we're going to give our NFL preseason predictions. I'm sure they're going to listen to this podcast. And I'm sure I'll get some pushback from my QB tiers. I can already tell you I'm going to get pushback. And that's great. And you're welcome to push back on me too. @LaValleyCH on Twitter. Or you can find me on Facebook. You can send me a post. Do whatever. I don't care. I welcome it. You're welcome to come on this podcast and debate me if you want to about where I may have put your quarterback in the wrong spot. So the way I do this, I do this the same way every single year. I do five tiers. This year, though, I added a sixth tier. So the first tier is elite. The second tier is great. The third tier is franchise caliber. Fourth tier is questionable. The fifth tier is lost cause. And this year, I put a sixth tier in, which is rookie class. I wanted to separate the rookies from everybody else, mainly because I just don't see the point in trying to predict where rookies are going to be as far as those initial five tiers, because the majority of them are going to go into questionable. So that's kind of boring. So I'd rather just do the five tiers. So the five tiers are for any quarterback that's been in the league for a minimum of 1 year. And then the rookies are going to be in their own separate category. And I've ranked the rookies in order of where as far as I'm concerned, who are the best rookies coming into this season. So with that being said, let's kick off this thing. We're going to go right into the elite category. All right, so here we go. I'm going to rank them in order. And then, so I've got six quarterbacks in the first tier. I'm going to list them, and then we'll talk about it. All right, so my number one overall quarterback is Pat Mahomes, followed by Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, and Deshaun Watson. Now, initially, I had Josh Allen below Deshaun Watson, but given the fact that Watson's very likely not going to play this season, and also just the trajectory of what Josh Allen has done over the past couple of years, I actually think he's ahead of Deshaun Watson. I understand Watson, you can consider Watson the Michael Jordan of football at this point. Like, the guy just carries a nothing roster, and he carries them on his back, puts up insane numbers on a just a horrific franchise, a horrifically run franchise. But I do think pound for pound, Josh Allen is a little bit better than Deshaun Watson. There's something about Allen that I think is really, really, really special. But if you want to put Deshaun Watson ahead of Josh Allen, I'm not going to argue with you on that one, because like I said, I initially had that until I did my final draft here. So I don't think anyone's going to argue with the Pat Mahomes thing. I don't see how you can argue with Aaron Rodgers being two. The guy just won the MVP. Tom Brady. Now, I've read a lot of people are dropping Tom Brady from the top tier list, mainly because everybody now wants to be the first to predict Brady's demise. That's become the new thing. It used to be, you know, everybody wanted to put Tom Brady one years and years ago, as if he was going to overtake Aaron Rodgers in the regular season or overtake Peyton Manning in the regular season, which never really happened. Now people are rushing to try and predict when Tom Brady's finally going to collapse. The dude just won the Super Bowl. I don't see how you can't have him in the top three. To me, you're not being realistic. You're just either you're a hater of Brady, or like I said, you're trying to be the first to predict his demise. Russell Wilson the fact that Russell Wilson still has yet to get an MVP vote boggles the mind. Now, I was not pleased with the way Russell Wilson handled this offseason. I thought he bungled the whole thing of him wanting to get traded, him throwing his offensive lineman under the bus, but that does not ignore what Russell Wilson has done over the last few seasons. Russell Wilson is easily a top four quarterback. Like, you could, if you wanted to tell me that you think Russell Wilson, you could argue him in the top three if you wanted to move Rodgers or even Pat Mahomes down. I mean, I don't think you can take Pat Mahomes out of one, but if you wanted to try and find some way to weasel Russell Wilson in the top three, I would listen to that argument too, because I think Russell Wilson's that good. I mean, he's elite. The first six games, seven games last season, Russell Wilson was the MVP, like the MVP candidate. Like, it looked like this was going to be the season. This was going to be Russell Wilson's breakout season. He was finally going to win the MVP. His numbers were through the roof. And then he very, very quickly declined as the season progressed. Not declined in a, you know, horrific type of way, but, you know, he fell back down to earth. I mean, the numbers initially were just unreal. Like, he threw 22 or 23 touchdowns within the first few weeks. I mean, he was just on fire early on to start last season. But anyway, I don't really see anybody pushing back, at least in my elite category. I think it's pretty concise and consistent. You know, like I said, Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, I don't see how you can push back on one or two, on them being one and two. Now, I just don't. I mean, if you wanted to say that you thought Aaron Rodgers is better than Pat Mahomes, I'm willing to hear that argument too. But I think given Mahomes' age, given the fact that he's gone to back-to-back Super Bowls, given the fact that he's already won an MVP, it's like he is the new young gun. He is what Aaron Rodgers was 10 years ago, is what Pat Mahomes looks like. So again, my top six in order are Pat Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, and Deshaun Watson. So yeah, I don't think the top six is really something that's going to get too much pushback. So this is where it gets fun. I mean, you know, you take the elite out, because I really do think the majority of you listening out there is not really going to push back. You may disagree with my order, but I think that those top six are within the elite category. I don't think anyone's really going to argue that. Here's where it gets interesting. So in my tier two, I've got seven quarterbacks in my tier two. So this is my great tier. So this is really a quarterback that I believe could get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl as well if they got there. You know, the elite is just you're head and shoulders above everybody else. So here we go. So I'm going to list them again. So I have 7 through 13 in this list. At 7, I have Matthew Stafford. At 8, Lamar Jackson. 9, Matt Ryan. 10, Dak Prescott. 11, Ryan Tannehill. 12, Justin Herbert. And 13, Kyler Murray. Okay, so here we go. Matthew Stafford is the most underrated quarterback in the history of football. And I cannot explain to you how excited I am to watch Matthew Stafford dominate the league. I know we're going to talk about this on Richo and Lala, but I'm already giving the game away here. I think Matthew Stafford is your MVP this season. I think he's going to win NFL MVP. I think his numbers are going to be obscene. What he's going to do. We're going to see Peyton Manning-like numbers from Matthew Stafford this year. I am so juiced up to watch Stafford in a great offense, on a great team, with one of the best offensive minds in football. Matthew Stafford is finally going to, I believe, get the respect that he deserves. Now, next I have Lamar Jackson. Now, I have been a lot of people have said I've been a Lamar Jackson hater. I have come around on Lamar Jackson in this sense. I do not think he is a great passer of the football, but you cannot ignore the dude's talent. He has elite talent. There is no question about it. The guy's electric. He is the most exciting quarterback to watch since Michael Vick. What he can do on the field is incredible. And I also think that if Lamar Jackson wasn't on the Ravens would not be as successful as they are. Okay, so I think that putting all of that into play, you got to put Lamar Jackson high up on that tier too. He has to win in the playoffs. Like his playoff performances have been nothing short of disappointing. But in the regular season, he is dragging that team to the playoffs. Like, there's no question about it. Lamar Jackson is the reason why the Baltimore Ravens have been successful over the last few seasons. So to me, Lamar Jackson is easily right below Stafford. Then you get into the Matt Ryan thing. Now, a lot of people are kind of like off on Matt Ryan. Go back and look at Matt Ryan's numbers over the last few seasons. If it wasn't for the fact that the Atlanta Falcons defense has been nothing short of putrid, Matt Ryan would have been in MVP conversations. Matt Ryan's numbers have been insanely good, but nobody talks about it because the Falcons have sucked the last few seasons. But it's not because Matt Ryan isn't still an elite quarterback, or he's not an elite. He's a great quarterback, obviously, but he's still in the top 10. No question. You want to move him around on this list. You want to put him at 10. That's fine. But Matt Ryan is still a top 10 quarterback in this league, bar none. At 10, I put Dak Prescott. And here's why I put Dak Prescott in the top 10. I know I already said earlier on, I'm concerned about his shoulder. But what he did early on last season before he got injured, Dak Prescott was right in that Russell Wilson category of MVP. Dak Prescott's numbers the first few weeks of the season were incredible. He's got arguably the best offensive weapons in football. The receiving core on the Dallas Cowboys is unreal. And if Ezekiel Elliott can be half, at least a quarter of what he was at his peak a couple years ago, Dallas is going to be formidable. They do, on paper, they do have a chance to have the best offense in football. So Dak Prescott, to me, from what I saw the first, what was it, four or five weeks last season, he showed that he's in the top 10 conversation now. Like, he belongs in the top 10. We'll just see if he stays there this season. At 11, I put Ryan Tannehill at 11, which was tough for me. I initially had Tannehill in the franchise caliber, so I had him a little bit lower in my tier 3 category. But then when you really look at the numbers, since he went to Tennessee, he's the second best quarterback statistically in football behind Pat Mahomes. Like, when you just go numbers by numbers by numbers, Ryan Tannehill is one of the best quarterbacks we've seen in a while. Just pure, just the pure numbers. Now, do I trust Ryan Tannehill like I trust all the other quarterbacks ahead of him? No, I don't. That's why I have him at 11. But you can't ignore the success that he's had in Tennessee and the numbers he's put up in Tennessee. It's insane how good he's been. It also, again, just goes to show how terrible of a head coach Adam Gase was. He gets away from Adam Gase, and all of a sudden Ryan Tannehill is a completely new quarterback. So I believe Ryan Tannehill has turned into a great quarterback in this league. Then we have Justin Herbert. I know we only got one season of Justin Herbert, but my God, is Justin Herbert incredible. Justin Herbert, I think, has the potential to be in the elite category next season. Justin Herbert's the best rookie quarterback I've seen since Andrew Luck. Like, he's that good. Now, Trevor Lawrence may overtake Justin Herbert as far as rookie seasons go, but what Justin Herbert did last year was absurd. Absolutely absurd. On a Chargers team that underperformed with a head coach that wasn't that great, Justin Herbert dragged a team. He set rookie records all over the place. Justin Herbert is an unbelievable watch. He is an excellent quarterback. I don't see how you can't put him in the great category. And then finally, Kyler Murray. I have been bullish on Kyler Murray since he got drafted. I thought it was a great move by Arizona to take him number one overall. And I think his numbers bear that out. I mean, the guy rushed for 11 touchdowns last year. He threw for 28. He's an incredible talent. And I think he belongs in the great category. I don't see how you can drop him into tier three, given what he's done over the past couple seasons. I know it's only been 2 years in the league, but he's also performed. He's kind of had a similar jump, not exactly the same as Josh Allen. I know everybody likes to compare every quarterback to Josh Allen. Josh Allen is just a special, special quarterback all unto himself. But if you look at the progression from Kyler Murray, his rookie year, to his second year, he's made strides. And I think he's going to continue to make strides into his third year. Okay, so this is going to be where I've got eight quarterbacks in my franchise caliber. So this is tier three. Here's where I think I'm going to get the most pushback is going to be in this spot here. So I've got quarterbacks ranked 14 through 21. Again, I'll list them in order, then we'll talk about them. So at 14, I have Derek Carr. 15, I have Kirk Cousins. 16, I have Big Ben. 17, Joe Burrow. 18, Carson Wentz. 19, Baker Mayfield. 20th, Jimmy G. And 21, Jared Goff. Okay, so let's just rip the Band-Aid off here. I have Jared Goff in franchise caliber because the guy took a team to a Super Bowl. All right, I know that they lost the Super Bowl because Goff completely and utterly choked in a way that I've never seen a quarterback choke in a big game before, but he still did lead a team to the Super Bowl, and I can't put him in tier four because of that alone. All right, and I have Jimmy G right ahead of him. Again, another quarterback who I do like. I like Jimmy. I don't like Jared Goff. I do like Jimmy G, but again, he also did take a team to the postseason. He's also 22-8 as a starter in San Francisco. Okay. So I know people like to ignore that and say, oh, well, wins and losses isn't just a quarterback stat. Well, that's fine. You can say that. But again, the dude's won a shitload more games than he's lost. But he has an injury problem, and we don't know what's going to happen with him in San Francisco. So that's why I have them in franchise caliber, because I think both of those quarterbacks, while I like one and I don't like the other, have the potential to be a franchise starter. Well, I mean, obviously, we're going to see Jared Goff in Detroit. I think Jimmy G could end up on another roster at some point and still be a franchise caliber quarterback for them. All right, so let's go back up to the top here. So at 14, I have Derek Carr. I've always liked Derek Carr. I have been a Derek Carr fanboy from the get-go. Derek Carr would have won MVP a couple years ago if he didn't tear his knee in week 15 that year. I believe the MVP went to Matt Ryan instead. So look, Derek Carr has been consistently good. If you look at his numbers last season, he was a solid quarterback last season. The Raiders just continue to underperform. I think a lot of it has to do with John Gruden is just not what we thought John, or at least what I thought John Gruden was going to be coming into his coaching tenure with the Raiders, has not been great. The Raiders are not going to be a good team again this year. Their division is insanely strong. You have the Chiefs, you have the Chargers, and you have the Broncos, all that you have to contend with. I honestly think the Raiders are going to be in last place by the end of this season, not because Derek Carr isn't good, but because just the team in general isn't that great, especially their defense, and mainly because I don't think John Gruden's got it anymore. At 15, I have Kirk Cousins. Look, you can say what you want about Cousins. Cousins is about as mediocre of a quarterback as you can get, but he's still top half of the league, and this is why. He still wins games. All right, he is the prototypical game manager. He's not going to lose you games. He will win you some, but he's not going to lose it for you either. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. He does have an Alex Smith tendency of checking down on third down. Like when it's third and long, he's the kind of guy who's going to throw the ball to the running back and just take 2 or 3 yards and then get off the field. Like he's somebody who doesn't take a whole lot of risk. But again, there's also a positive in that, in the sense that he's also not going to lose you football games. So that's why I do have Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins to me is a reliable quarterback. He's somebody that you can count on to win you regular season games. He'll get you to the postseason. Doesn't mean he's not necessarily going to take you to the promised land in the postseason, but he'll at least get you to the postseason, which that's what a lot of these franchises are looking for. Big Ben, I put at 16. Look, this was tough for me. I wanted to put Big Ben in the great category. I really do. Look, there were years ago when Big Ben was in the conversation of elite quarterbacks, right? I mean, let's be real about it. Ben might be, aside from Matthew Stafford, the other most underrated quarterback in this league. Big Ben has never really gotten his due. He's always been behind Manning and Rodgers and Brady and Breeze in his heyday. Like he was never in that elite category. He was always just one step out. So he's never really gotten his due. But God, last season, the tail end of last season, he just looked awful. And so I do still think he belongs in a franchise. You can't not put him in franchise caliber given all the success he's had. The guy's been to 3 Super Bowls. He's won 2. Like you can't take anything away from Big Ben, okay, on that end. But it's not as pretty as it used to be. And I think this is the beginning of the end for him. At 17, I have Burrow. Now, I know we only saw 4 or 5 games of him last season. And I understand that. But what we saw was incredible. Like what this guy did, with a nothing roster. Cincinnati had nothing last year. They had no offensive line. They had less than nothing at the receiving core. The team is still rebuilding. They still don't have much of an offensive line even coming into this season. But Joe Burrow is special. He's going to be good. He is absolutely a franchise caliber quarterback, number one. Number two, I think he's got the potential to be in tier two within the next year or the following year. He's that special and he's that talented. And I think as his career unfolds, you're going to see how special Joe Burrow really is. He has the potential to be Carson Palmer in Cincinnati. That's where I see him. I see him being a quarterback that's going to be able to take that team within the next couple of years to the playoffs. Then we get to my guy, Carson Wentz. Now, I would love to have Carson Wentz higher up on this list. And if he wasn't injured, so I had to change my list, I'll be honest with you. I had Carson Wentz right around Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins area, okay? Prior to him being injured, when I was thinking about my list back in June, I had Carson Wentz way up there. He got injured again. And now he's on COVID protocol. And the guy has probably the worst luck of anybody I've seen in a long time as far as injuries and just everything that can possibly go wrong for the guy seems to be going wrong for the guy. He's a franchise. His talent alone is a franchise caliber quarterback. I don't think anybody can argue that. And I can't justify having him any higher on this list, mainly because I just don't know. I don't know how many games I'm going to get from him. If Carson Wentz, and obviously it's a big, saying if Carson Wentz will stay healthy is like in big bold and it's highlighted because you just don't know. But if he can stay healthy, the Colts are a Super Bowl contender. But that's if he can stay healthy. And again, that is a big if. And I understand that. But you cannot take away the talent that Carson Wentz has. You just can't. Again, this is a guy who dragged a bum-ass team 2 years ago to the playoffs with a bunch of practice squad players. His leading receiver on the Eagles that season was a quarterback in college. Okay, so just keep that in mind. For everybody who likes to hate on Carson Wentz, and this is probably where I'm going to get the most pushback, is because, oh, you're Carson Wentz supporter. You're damn right I am. I was a Carson Wentz supporter even before he came on the Colts. And maybe I'm a little biased when it comes to Wentz. But if you just look at what he did, he's done more with less than almost any quarterback on this list. Then that brings me to Baker Mayfield. And the reason why I have Baker Mayfield this low, a lot of people are bullish on Mayfield. He's got to show it again this year. He had a good year last year. You can't take anything away from him. He took the team into the playoffs. He had a great run. He has to show it again this year. He is a franchise caliber quarterback, but is he a consistently good franchise caliber quarterback? Can he be consistent? He has to. The best thing the Browns did was not pick up his option. The Browns did the right thing. Make him prove it. He has to prove it. He has to prove that he's worth signing a long-term deal with. Baker Mayfield, if he can play well this year, he will catapult on my list. I think he'll catapult on most people's lists because he has all the potential to be great in this league, but he has to be consistent. And then obviously the last two, I already talked about Jimmy G and Jared Goff. So I think this is, like I said, this is probably where I'm going to get the most pushback because there may be some people that y'all think that I put in the great category that maybe should be dropped down to franchise caliber, or maybe you argue that some of the people I have in franchise caliber, you may even put in the next tier in questionable. So let's get to that right now. Tier four, which is questionable. All right, so here we go here. So let's see, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So I've got six quarterbacks here in tier four, which is questionable. So starting off, I've got Cam Newton, followed by Ryan Fitzpatrick, Daniel Jones, Teddy Bridgewater, Tua Tagovailoa, and Jameis Winston. All right. So Cam Newton, obviously we've already talked about Newton. I don't need to explain that one. Ryan Fitzpatrick is good for what, three or four games where he's just going to be Fitzmagic out there for you. He's going to put up some insane numbers. Be the top play on SportsCenter, their top 10 on Monday, because he does something incredible. Fitzpatrick is a decent starter in this league. He's not a franchise quarterback, but he's good enough to get you, what, five, maybe six wins on a season. Like, you can pretty much, if you have Fitzpatrick as your quarterback, you can kind of pencil yourself in to be about a 6-win team. And then whether or not you make the playoffs or whether or not you're contending for a playoff spot is iffy. Then you get Daniel Jones. I am much higher on Daniel Jones than the majority of the world. I think a lot of people would put Daniel Jones in tier 5, which is my lost cause category. I still believe in Daniel Jones. I think he's had a raw deal. I think that it's been tough for him. Look at the roster that the Giants put around him. Aside from Saquon Barkley, look at who he's had to throw to over his first couple years. Now, I know he throws a lot of interceptions, and I know that he's fumbled the football. He's got some issues there, but it's not like the Giants have an elite offensive line. So let's stop pretending that the Giants have given Daniel Jones an elite offense to play with. Okay, it's very similar to Sam Darnold, I just realized I didn't put Sam Darnold on this list. I'm doing this in live time here, everybody. Okay, so here's the deal. I can't believe I didn't put Sam Darnold on my list. So I'm going to put Sam Darnold ahead of Cam Newton in questionable. All right, so it's going to go Sam Darnold, then Cam Newton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Daniel Jones, Teddy Bridgewater, Tua, and Jameis Winston. Okay, so we're going to redo that real quick. I'm going to get on Sam Darnold in 1 second. But similar to Sam Darnold in New York, Daniel Jones also, coincidentally, in New York, has not had any luck as far as who to throw to, the type of talent around him. Saquon Barkley getting injured last season certainly didn't help. So this year, I think with a fully healthy roster, Daniel Jones is going to prove that he belongs in New York. He also has an excellent head coach, by the way. Judge is one of the best up-and-coming head coaches in the league. So he does have that going for him. But I do believe in Daniel Jones. All right, let me jump up 2 spots here and talk about Sam Darnold real quick. I still believe Sam Darnold is going to be good in this league. I have him at questionable because obviously we don't know. He's another quarterback that throws a lot of interceptions. But again, he was on the freaking Jets and he had Adam Gase as his head coach. Like, let's cut the guy a little bit of slack here. All right, he's going to Carolina. He's got Christian McCaffrey in his backfield. He's got plenty of offensive weapons. And Matt Rhule's a good coach. I think he does. Anyway, I think he's got the potential to be a really good head coach in this league. So I think Sam Darnold is right below franchise caliber because if Sam Darnold can be successful this season, if Sam Darnold can win 7 or 8 games this year, I actually think you can bump him up to franchise caliber because I think Darnold does have the potential to be a franchise quarterback. All right, now I'm bumping back down again. Let's do Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater's okay. I mean, look, the reason why I have Bridgewater where I do is he's not great. He's not necessarily good. He's a good placeholder. And in Denver, he's now been named the starter, in Denver, he's going to be a decent placeholder for the entire season until Denver drafts a quarterback next season. Or unless Denver can make a play, maybe make a trade with San Francisco, go get Jimmy Garoppolo, or honestly, I think they're hoping amongst everything that by the end of next season, Aaron Rodgers ends up in Denver. I think that's the hope and the prayer. But Teddy Bridgewater will help win you 6-7 games. You know, I think he's right in the Ryan Fitzpatrick category of, you know, he'll get you there. The reason why I have Fitzpatrick two spots ahead of Teddy Bridgewater is just because I've seen Fitzpatrick do it more often. Teddy Bridgewater's kind of been in and out all over the place. He hasn't been all that consistent, but I still think he's halfway decent. I have Tua this low on the list because I don't trust Tua Tagovailoa. I don't think he's that good. And there was already, I was just reading reports the other day where Miami is still trying to make a play at Deshaun Watson. Even Miami doesn't buy into Tua. So if you have your own franchise getting ready to offload you to a crappy team like Houston this quick, that tells you something. To me, that's alarm bells all over the place. The fact that they've already had him, they've only had him for a season, and they're already looking to get rid of him, that tells you something. And Miami's got an excellent roster. But it's hard to buy into Miami because you don't know what you're going to get from this quarterback. He's not that good, or at least he didn't show to be all that good last year. Now, I know that they were very, very cautious with him. They were looking back at his injury. They didn't want to see him get injured. A lot of analysts last season said, you should sit Tua all season long. If you're not going to let him do what he's got to do out there, let him do his thing, then just sit him. I think part of it was they were concerned about his injury, but I also think that was an excuse because they just don't like what they've seen. whether it's in practice or whether it's even watching game film. And even if you watched game film of him last year too, I don't think there was anything about Tua that made you sit back and go, wow, Miami got their guy. I just don't see it. I don't see it in Tua. And finally, Jameis Winston. Look, Jameis Winston, he's the starter in New Orleans. He'll throw, 30 touchdowns, and then he'll throw 40 interceptions. I mean, the guy will he'll put up some good fantasy numbers for you. If you need a decent fantasy quarterback, he'll probably put up some decent fantasy numbers for you. He'll throw for, 5,000 yards. But again, he likes to throw the ball to the other team more than he likes throwing it to his team. And that's the problem with him. He's not a lost cause because he can still win some football games, but he's not that good. I have if I have Tua on my, I mean, excuse me, not Tua. If I have Jameis Winston on my team, I'm not confident in the least. I'm just not. I'm not sitting back and going, oh, look at me. I've got Jameis Winston. Now I can win some football games. The Saints are going to be whatever this season. I don't think they're going to be anything special, mainly because their quarterback's not that great. You know, Sean Payton can only do so much. You can, and I think it's even arguable to put Sean Payton up in that elite category anyway, given the fact that he only went to one Super Bowl with Drew Brees. So that's a whole other conversation. So you can say what you want about Jameis Winston. I just don't find him to be all that spectacular. So here we go again. I can't believe I left Sam Darnold off my list here, but in order here. So I had Darnold followed by Cam Newton, Fitzpatrick, Daniel Jones, Teddy Bridgewater, Tua Tagovailoa, and Jameis Winston. And let's get into tier five. All right, so this tier is going to be really short and sweet. Okay, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here. Your lost causes in order. I've got Andy Dalton, Drew Lock, Jalen Hurts, and Tyrod Taylor. Okay, Andy Dalton is, he's going to play 2 weeks, maybe three in Chicago, or maybe even only one. Like Dalton, he's just done. He's done in the league. He'll be a perennial backup moving forward after the season, in my opinion. I just don't see him as a starter anymore. Look, Drew Lock is terrible. He's terrible in Denver. Obviously, look, they went with Teddy Bridgewater over him. So he's done. Great arm, by the way. Drew Lock has an excellent, he's got a Jay Cutler type arm, but he sucks. He doesn't listen. He's arrogant. He's stubborn as hell. He's not coachable. So there you go. Jalen Hurts, I think, is the second worst quarterback in football. Some of this can be because I'm still bitter about what the Eagles did with Carson Wentz and the fact that they took Jalen Hurts and also the fact that they already went out and got Gardner Minshew, for Christ's sakes, because they're that concerned. And I didn't put Minshew on this list mainly because when I made this list, Minshew was still on Jacksonville and I knew he wasn't going to see any playing time. But you could put Gardner Minshew on the questionable on the tier four area, somewhere around the Teddy Bridgewater, Tua Tagovailoa area. Anyway, Jalen Hurts to me is just, he's not that good. He's not that good. And then Tyrod Taylor, I think, is the worst quarterback in football. Tyrod Taylor, the fact that Tyrod Taylor keeps getting starting opportunities it just makes no sense to me. He's awful. He's absolutely dreadful. So let's move on to tier six. We'll talk about the rookie QBs. All right, so if we take a look at tier six, which is my rookie class, Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback in the rookie class. I don't think there's any question about it. He went to one of the worst teams in the league, so I'm not saying that you're going to see Trevor Lawrence carry the Jags to the playoffs. I don't think that at all. I think a successful season for Jacksonville will be winning 6 to 7 games. I think that's definitely a success. Trevor Lawrence is going to have some growing pains in the league, but I think, bar none, he's easily the best draft pick that we've seen since Andrew Luck. The best talent, I should say, since Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck was the best quarterback talent we saw since John Elway. So there you go. Trevor Lawrence, easily the best quarterback in this rookie class. I have Trey Lance right below him. Now, I know I'm on an island on that one. Okay, so I get that. You guys can come at me with that one. I think Trey Lance is going to be spectacular in San Francisco. I love everything about him. I wanted him to go to San Francisco. I said at the time when the draft came out that to me, Trey Lance was the second best quarterback in the draft, and I still believe that. Third, I have Zach Wilson. I'm high on Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson's going to be successful in New York. He's got the moxie. He's got the arm to do some special things with the Jets. He's got everything you want in New York, Okay, he's going to be one of those guys who I think is going to embrace the challenge. He's going to embrace the media. He's definitely got he's got that little cocky flair to him. I think he's going to be perfect in New York. I like everything about him. I do. I think he's going to be successful. Now, look, do I think the Jets will probably be the worst team in the NFC, excuse me, in the AFC East? But that's just because Buffalo is head and shoulders above everybody. And then I think it's New England, Miami, and the Jets. Nothing. Look, if the Jets can win 6-7 games, again, I keep going with the 6-7 games thing. But look, if the Jets can win 6 games, I think that's a successful season. I do. I just, the Jets to me are still rebuilding. They're still rebuilding. But they finally have a quarterback and they have a new head coach. So let's give them the opportunity. Let's give this new coach an opportunity to build this roster in his image, not Adam Gase's horrific image, but in his image, and let's see what happens. I have that followed by Mac Jones. I'm not changing my mind on Mac Jones until I see it. Okay. We talked about it in the first segment, how I feel about him, how I'm having a real like an internal crisis here with my whole, I buy into everything Bill Belichick does, but I didn't like what I saw Mac Jones in college. And that doesn't change. That still doesn't change until I see him. Look, I'll be the first one to admit that I'm wrong. If Mac Jones balls out this season and looks like the second coming of Tom Brady, I will be the first one to sit here and say, I was dead wrong about Mac Jones. I'm an idiot. Okay. You heard it here first. I will flat out admit how wrong I am about Jones, but I still can't shake what I saw from him in college. And again, it's the Alabama quarterback thing, which also brings me to Justin Fields, who I have at the bottom of this list. And I know everybody loves Justin Fields. Everybody's slurping them Justin Fields. Oh my God, he's so great. Look at how talented he is. Oh, the Bears finally found their quarterback. He's an Ohio State quarterback. Go ahead. List me the best Ohio State quarterbacks. I'll wait. The problem is that I'll be waiting here for the next 10 years because there hasn't been a successful Ohio State quarterback in the league in I don't even know how long. Justin Fields, to me, he's got the raw skill set to be decent in the league, but there was nothing at Ohio State that made me sit back and go, wow, this is a top-tier draft pick. There's nothing that I saw at Ohio State that made me sit back and think that, oh, wow, this kid is spectacular. There's nothing that he has done. I've never liked Justin Fields. Never, ever, ever. And again, I just don't buy into Ohio State quarterbacks. Same way I don't buy into Alabama quarterbacks. I just don't. They don't turn out to be successful in this league. Look, it's great that Justin Fields balled out in preseason, in that preseason game. What was it? It was either the first week or the second week of the preseason where Justin Fields, he went off. Completed like 13 straight passes. But it was preseason, and he was playing against practice squad players. So everybody needs to chill the F out. Just give it some time. Let it marinate. Let's see what he does. Let's see what he does in Chicago. Again, I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong. But I think everybody who's slurping Justin Fields is doing it a little bit prematurely. That's the end of my QB tier list. You guys are welcome to push back. I'm always here for it. At LaValleyCH on Twitter again. You can find me there. You can find me on Facebook. You can tell me where I'm wrong, where I'm right, all that good stuff. And your open invitation is always to come on this podcast and debate me on this one. All right, real quick, let me give you my college football playoff predictions here. So I've got Alabama and Clemson. Shocker. I know. Everybody's taking Alabama and Clemson. I'm no different. I would love to be able to tell you somebody else is going to make it aside from those two. Those two, I think, are going to end up being likely your final two, unless they play each other in the first round of the playoff. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I just, television-wise, because, look, the playoffs is just as much of a TV show as it is anything else. I just don't think that they would actually do that. But until they get knocked off, it's kind of hard for me not to take them. And I get it. It gets boring. Look, college football is my second favorite sport behind the NFL. I love it so much, and I get that it's getting boring seeing the same two teams there, but I don't know what else to tell you. They're definitely going to be there in the end. I like Oklahoma this year. I think Lincoln Riley, they're going to have another successful season. I like them to make the postseason. And as much as it kills me, I think Ohio State's going to be there too. Ohio State's offense is unreal. Their potential. They look like they're going to be even better than they were last year on offense. So I know three of the four were just there last season, and I get that. Upsets picks, if you're going to take two teams to watch out for, I think Texas A&M, and I think Texas. Look out for Texas, all right? I think those are your two teams that have the potential to make an upset. I don't buy into Georgia. This weekend, by the way, Clemson, Georgia, massive college football. The college football season kicks off this year. Kicks off this Saturday. I did not take a hard enough look at the schedule. And I apologize for that. I will do better next week. We will definitely break down what happened in week one. I unfortunately did not really prepare for the college football season up until right before this podcast. When I was looking over my notes, I realized that we had an upcoming season. I had not looked at the schedule to be able to give you guys picks, but I will tell you that the one game, the most important game to watch this weekend, is Clemson and Georgia. And I think Clemson's going to win the game, obviously, because I'm picking them to make the playoffs. And I think Georgia keeps getting all of this praise and all of these accolades early on in the season, and they keep coming up short every single year. Georgia is always the bridesmaid. They're never the bride. And I'm not even going to waste my time considering them to make the playoff, because they never do. They rarely, if ever, do, I should say. I think they made it one year a couple of years ago with Jake Fromm at quarterback, but they lost. They got blown out in the first game. So I don't buy into Georgia. Like I said, so I've got Bama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. Those are your four teams that I think are going to make the playoff. And then look out for Texas A&M and Texas. Those two could be your spoilers for one of those teams. But we'll see what happens. Again, I'm ecstatic. College football is back. And next week, I promise you, I will give you, we'll do much more of an in-depth breakdown of what happened in week one. And we'll look ahead to week two of the college football season. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the podcast. As always, thank you so much for tuning and listening. I greatly appreciate it. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And that is it. That's all I have for you this week. I hope you all be well and stay safe. I'll talk to you all again next week.